Today we talk about how the church teaches us to have contempt for our own free will, and in particular, how we have contempt for, interact with, and treat our children. This may sound harsh, but based on their teachings and beliefs, it's the truth. The religious, rules-based, behavior-focused conservative church hates its children. One of the biggest brainwashing con jobs from the church is that our children are sinful and we need to break their will. Beloved, bullshit. Let's break free from that teaching of contempt for our free will, for our children, for ourselves.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
Well, hello and welcome to the Freed Hearts Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Robert Cottrell, and I'm here, as always, with...
Susan Cottrell.
Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome, everyone. Please connect with us at freedhearts.org. Share the entire podcast or certain episodes that you think would be meaningful to others. Support us if you can. We don't have any ads. We are a listener-based, listener-supported podcast. All we do is only possible through the kindness of people like you, so thank you very much. We're going to continue deconstructing our religious baggage with laughter and love. That's what we do here at the Freed Hearts Podcast. And again, just a reminder, this has brought us so much closer, so much more in love with ourselves and with Jesus than we ever thought was possible while we were part of the Christian church. So stay with us. Email us if you have any questions and stay on the journey. We promise. We promise. We got cookies on the other side. It's amazing. Last week, we talked about our contempt for God, about how we feel about God and how we think God feels about us results in us having contempt for ourselves.
Yeah.
So today, we're going to talk about contempt for our own free will, this gift we've been given, and in particular, how it starts by how we interact with and treat our own children.
Phew.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to a church friend one time about how we treat our children in this culture and in the church. And she said to me, "We hate our children." And I knew exactly what she meant.
You know, that's a strong statement.
Yeah.
But based on the false teachings and beliefs, this religious, rules-based, behavior-focused, conservative, evangelical church hates its children.
Yes.
Because it teaches contempt against our children.
Yes.
That's the truth, beloved.
That's the truth. And one of the biggest brainwashing con jobs from the extreme right is that our children are sinful and we need to break their will. Oh, God.
That's what they mean.
I know. As if the person breaking the will, the child's will, hasn't got their own sin under, you know, that's all under control, which has not been my experience in this paradigm. And this con job teaches that your child must be compliant to bend their will to yours. And your job is to break their will and replace it with your will.
Stretching up my neck. It just makes me tense up when you say that.
I know. So let me get this straight. God gave my child free will, so much free will that they may go to hell because of it, according to your theology. Not you, but the person I'm talking to. That's the only justification they have for hell, by the way, which they can see is horrifying at every level. So they say, well, God gave us free will. Okay, so God gave us that much free will because God wanted us to have free will, and you're telling me to break it, to use your program here to break my child's free will. Is that what you're saying?
Now, don't confuse this with God's will. This is the parents' will.
That's exactly right.
It has nothing to do with God. We abandoned any love of God a long time ago in this paradigm.
That's right.
A God who needs you, a God who needs us to beat your child to break their will, that God just gave to them is a failed God.
Yes.
It's a false God.
Yes. So how do you break their will? Okay, this can range across the board. Now, let me tell you, we don't want to trigger anybody. And if you've been through this, you can tell us better than we can tell you. If you know, you know. But for those who may not know, just to touch on it very lightly, we're talking about beating your children into submission with a rod, with a whatever, and starting as infants, spanking infants to break their will. Now, here's the thing about infants. It's the thing about people, by the way, who start out as infants. Mm. We are born curious, creative, with wonder at the world around us. We are a wild, rushing water seeking adventure that is us, created in the image of God. A parent's job is just to provide the banks to contain the water as it flows its way to the ocean. That's inborn in us. That reaching out for the necklace. I can't wear a necklace around our grandbaby because they'll grab it and pull it, or earrings. But that's all part of it. But that time they discover no to mom, to dad, to their parent, this is all part of individuation, of self-actualization. That is part of it. That spark of life as the gateway to the rest of life has inherent risk. They might pull the dishes down off the table. And the parent's job is to secure the perimeter to make sure the baby doesn't hurt themselves or others and hopefully doesn't destroy the place. Mm. It is not to effectively lock them up so they can no longer move, put them in a box, but that's exactly what happens with these extreme teachings of first time, unquestioning obedience, all that punishment of curiosity that effectively ties them up on the inside. Mm. And all of that beautiful curiosity to explore the world, to unfold as human beings, to express their free will that God gave them, all of that is cut short with a switch from a tree to make sure your child doesn't flap their wings and fly.
We've mentioned the TV series called Shiny Happy People and the insidiousness of child abuse, systemic child abuse, physical, as you just talked about, but also emotional, spiritual, sexual. It's all there. And we don't want to dive too far into this because it's not pleasant at all. And I know it's triggering, but you can find out all you want if you would like to know more by watching this show yourself. It's called Shiny Happy People. And there's also a great site called Recovering Grace to help you find your way if you've been part of all of that. We're actually in that system.
Yeah, that was created by kids who grew up in that system. Yeah. Have we mentioned Shiny Happy People before?
I think we have, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked about it. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who does this kind of punishment? Parents who were trained by extremists.
Oh, yep. There's no other word for it.
There's no other word. Gary and Anne Marie Ezzo, who did Growing Kids God's Way. Mm. Mike and Debbie Pearl, who wrote To Train Up a Child, and Bill Gothard.
Gotthard.
Bill Gothard, a pedophile.
Oh, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. Gothard. I'm sorry. Yep. There you go.
We call him Gothard because that's his response to teenage girls, to underage girls. Is a pedophile. He's never been married. He has no children and created a whole big curriculum, institute and basic life principles for marriage and family from a man who had neither. Mm. And Gotthard created a whole theology in his teachings. That's the focus of Shiny Happy People, that umbrella of authority. You know that he made that. Have you heard of the umbrella of authority? And everybody has to line up. It's God, then the pastors, then husband, then wife, then children. At least she scores above the children. But Gotthard is a pastor. So he's right up there next to God. Well, that's really convenient. Yeah. And over everybody else. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, when our created hierarchy that we made up, because he made up that umbrella of authority, when that hierarchy we made up puts us at the very top over everybody else, it's probably not objective. It's probably not, I'm just guessing here, but it's probably not accurate.
Yeah.
And didn't Jesus say to be the servant of all?
No, he will say that he will use scripture about, you know, husbands submit and wives submit.
Oh, sure.
But that's all taken. That's all taken out of context.
Yeah, sure. He missed the whole point of that scripture.
He missed the whole point of all those scriptures.
We can talk about that another time, but he missed the point, and he is using it, or did use it, to build his empire and empower himself.
Now, didn't he also create these things called wisdom, his words, not mine,
right.
Wisdom booklets that stand in for school curriculum?
Yeah. Instead of actual school curriculum, they did these wisdom booklets, these kids. And he just wholesale made stuff up. Like this little beauty. It says, if a woman doesn't cry out when she's raped, God holds her equally guilty with her attacker. Isn't that convenient for an abuser? Isn't that permission? And I apologize. I just used that R word. Apologize if you're triggered.
It's hard sometimes to deconstruct and not be triggered all the time.
It is.
Yeah.
But to create this, but that bit of information he made up and put in a curriculum creates a conspiracy of silence, and it grooms girls into women who are full of guilt and shame. I mean, that phrase I just read comes straight out of his booklet 36.
Yeah. And also, I mean, they continue on about, well, how were you dressed? Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Did
it's
you
shame.
Entice? It's shame and guilt for the
beginning
woman.
Beginning to end.
All the woman's responsibility. Yeah. And this is, honestly, this is all over the homeschool movement.
Yeah.
And all over the conservative evangelical church. And we never did Gothard.
No.
But we knew families who did.
Yeah.
And the kids were lovely, at least in our presence. They were lovely.
They were lovely, period.
Yeah. Well, they were, yeah.
They were lovely kids.
Yeah, and they were obedient. But at what cost?
Yeah.
And now, years later, we actually interact with many of those kids who were ultimately rejected by their parents.
Yes. Yes.
And now we're talking about teachings from 6 months old. It's called blanket training. And just hold on here for a second, or hold on to something here. Take a drink of water or whatever, wine. And the Pearls, who you talked about before, came up with this, where you put something interesting just outside of the baby's reach, your tiny infant. And when they reach for it, spank them. And it just continues from there.
And you keep doing that until they no longer reach for it.
Yeah.
So you've broken their will.
Yeah. And that's how you, quote, train up a child. That's their Christianity.
Right.
By the way, the Pearl's teaching called to train up a child has been linked to multiple stories of children being beaten to death.
Beaten to death. Beaten to death.
Okay. And again, they deny it or may have an excuse for it, whatever. I can only imagine with horror them saying, we never told you to beat your child to death, but the seeds are there.
Yeah.
They put all the weapons right up there on the table for parents who, by doing that, were doing what they thought God wanted them, what they were told God wanted them to do the right thing. Again, that's why we use the phrase behavior-focused church or rules-based church.
Yeah.
But how, I mean, how can a parent get so brainwashed, get so embroiled in this?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, at least in the beginning, and full disclosure, we did the Ezo's Growing Kids God's Way for a minute, and they were cassette tapes. This was the 90s. And we had 5 kids from 0 to 8, and the schedule that this teaching promised, the sleeping through the night, et cetera, for the baby, was really appealing. And if you get well-behaved kids in the process, that's great. But at what cost? Mm. And I listened, Rob, and tried to make them work, as you know. And I wanted the baby to sleep through the night. And that's what drew me. And I wanted the days to be less random. And so this was a promise of some order from chaos. And Rob knows I'm sort of allergic to routine. And he said, just be consistent and see what happens. But I'm telling you, it was hard to implement this, you know, this consistently. And I kept thinking, and maybe you did too, Rob, that I don't think these kids are supposed to be this controlled. Mm. You know, we did not have examples.
Yeah.
So how did we know?
Yeah, both of our parents, by the way, all mine, they were all gone by this time.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, this seemed obtainable. Like, okay, I can do this. And I have to say, this is that how easily you can go down a path that sounds good when we don't have sufficient training, we didn't have a great example, and these promises are put out there. And they were promises, but at a cost.
Well, they were more than promises. They were also expectations.
Yes.
Like I said, they were what God expects you to do.
Yes.
It's what we as church leaders expect you to do.
Godliness.
And we were, while we were doing this for the minute or two that we did this,
yeah,
it was so easy to look at other families who did not do this program, this Growing Kids God's Way program, with contempt.
Yeah.
At their children with contempt.
Yeah.
Because again, this was not just, it didn't have promises, it came with expectations.
Yeah, and the contempt is baked in. So you begin to have contempt for other people.
Right.
Who aren't doing this because you're trying to justify it,
yeah,
in your own experience. Well, so I don't know if you remember all this, but the women's retreat was upcoming and I knew the pastor's wife would be there. And, you know, and now whatever vision you had when I said pastor's wife is not this woman. I forget her name now, but I'll call her Gina. Gina was not going to be the pastor's wife. She could think for herself. She was not afraid to go against the grain. She spoke up. And I love that about her. These were the very qualities I was drawn to in her, but also intimidated by, because I didn't have access to my own power. And, you know, I was a young mom in my 30s, and I was so drawn to powerful women, but also intimidated. And I wanted to access my power, but I didn't know how. And one of my closest friends was very smart, very accomplished, scared me to pieces. And so anyway, I decided I'd talk to Gina at the retreat about these tapes. And I saw her walking across the lawn and I caught up with her and I told her we were doing these Ezo tapes and they weren't working. And she just stopped. And she said, that is all legalism. And I knew the idea of legalism. It basically means over adherence to the law. And, you know, thinking that will get you perfected, especially in religion. You're going to obey your way to moral goodness, so to speak. You're going to perfect yourself into moral goodness. And I wasn't drawn to legalism. Mm. It's not my nature, my creative, curious nature, not my background. But I didn't grasp legalism enough yet to recognize it in these kinds of teachings. And now it stands out like a slash across the face. But back then I was just learning. And she even said, you know, it has hooks in it. And when she said that, I sighed with relief, hooks of legalism. And I sighed with relief. I said, I am so glad. I'm so glad you're telling me this. And then I said, I'll talk to Rob when I get home and I hope he agrees. And I prayed you would agree because I was afraid you'd say, well, we're just not doing them consistently enough, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, because, you know, men are supposed to keep their wives in check, right?
Well, that's under the umbrella. That's what you
that's hear, the under right? the umbrella. Yeah, that's which right. We never got into that. But anyway.
What a leaky umbrella.
So when I got home, I sort of waited for the right moment. And then I told you about the retreat and what Gina said. Do you remember this at all?
I do.
Oh, cool. Cool. And you said, throw the tapes out. And I I was like, I love you so much. Yeah. I love you so much. And I tell you all this because these teachings are so insidious and the parents are sitting ducks. And if you find something that promises to make your life easier, to reduce the risk of bringing another human being into the world and raising them into a responsible, productive, let alone happy adult, it's so easy to say, okay, I'll take that. Yes, I'll take that. And when you don't have the experience or the confidence to raise these kids, to even know your own heart, you don't even know your own heart, And so how do you raise your kids to know their heart?
Well, not even know your own heart. You're taught not to trust your heart.
Yes.
And that's the contempt for your own free will.
Right, exactly. For your own heart. Yeah. For your own heart. And so you're inevitably going to follow the leader. That's why you're in this kind of church, to follow the leader, to get a better life. And that's why it's so critical to listen to your own heart, which you've been told is a wreck and you can't trust it.
Falsely told.
Yeah, falsely told. It's not true. But talk about sealing the exits. Mm. Talk about grooming you to be defenseless.
Yeah. And I mean, what parents are really doing here is outsourcing their child raising.
Exactly.
They're making their relationship with their child, and see if this sounds familiar, rules-based and behavior-focused.
Yes.
They're implementing the rules of the leaders themselves. They're mirroring the rules-based, behavior-focused theology of the church and our relationship, our perceived relationship with God.
Yes.
That's how God views us. That's how we view ourselves. So, of course, we're going to pass that on to our children.
And don't overlook that leaders don't keep these rules themselves.
No.
Are you kidding? It's like our politicians do all kinds of things that we're not allowed to do. And these leaders get away with murder, basically.
I mean, we're made to believe that the world is scary and your child's not up to it. It's too much risk because your child is basically just a sin machine and you better stop them. It pulls on our own self-contempt, and we don't want a child out there doing bad things and making us look bad.
Yeah.
It taps into so many hooks, as the person said too. It's so easy to get trapped in this thing.
And if someone had come to them at the beginning and said, I have an idea for you to raise your children, you can punish them into submission, destroy their confidence, groom them to submit to any abuser who comes along,
ruin their relationship with God.
Yeah. Destroy their sense of self, and it'll cost you a lot of money in our courses and materials. What do you think? You'd shut the door in their face. But because it's presented as saving your children from sin, you can swallow it. Because it's presenting as growing kids God's way, you can swallow it. And because it's preceded by a teaching of contempt for the humanity of your child, you can swallow it.
You know, I just, for the first time in decades since we did that program, Growing Kids God's Way.
Yeah.
It just flowed off my tongue before, but Growing Kids God's Way. In other words,
not Growing Kids Ezo's Way.
Well, in other words, if you don't do this, it's not God's way.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and again, so in all of this, we have to stop that thing we always say, remember,
the plumb line question
is who benefits from this and who is hurt.
Yeah. And the teachers benefit. These teachers have made millions, gained a lot of power and influence, and it gave Gothard. I want to say it the other way.
What way?
Gothard.
Gotcha.
It gave him unrestricted access to young girls.
And he had and he had the authoritative voice.
Yes. They were groomed to trust him, to say yes to him. That not to is not God's way. He didn't do God's way, but that I'm growing kids God's way. But I'm conflating them here. But boys gave him boys to literally build his ministry with hard, unpaid labor, and girls to scrub and clean that he could also abuse. Mm. That's the empire he created. And if you want to watch Shiny Happy People, and it's hard. It's not as excruciating as I was afraid it would be. I'd put it off for a little while. Anyway, if you have been through this or know people who have been through this, it might be really cleansing and healing, especially because of the people who grew up out of it and offer some wisdom and hope at the end.
I forget where it's streaming, but it's Shiny Happy People.
Netflix, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. And, but also, so the teachers benefit in spades, tons of money and control and empire building. But the parents benefit too for a while because they're also hurt. Yeah. They benefit because they can outsource their children's development to a guru and thus avoid confronting their own, you know, inner angst, their own shortcomings, their own, quote, sins. But they're also hurt because they outsource their children's development to a guru and thus avoid confronting their own inner angst and their own shortcomings. So they're putting off their own reckoning for the day their kids will leave, lose their faith, hate them, and are left in it, or at least be very conflicted about them, and are left in a heap because this stuff did not work. And perhaps their eyes are open to the damage they allowed to happen to their family. Or, as with a former friend of mine, her family has paid so dearly going through this whole Gothard stuff. She put so much into it that she really can't admit, even now, that it didn't work. And she's perpetually at arm's length from her multiple children. Mm-hmm. That is really a sad situation. But who's really hurt, of course, is the children, at least of, you know, the least of these, the least powerful, the most vulnerable in this dynamic, that we're meant to protect children who are powerless, voiceless, and now rendered completely vulnerable to their parents' abuse and the leader's abuse and abusers in the future. They're conditioned, you know, fight, flight, or freeze. It is whatever you're or fawn, which is trying to appease an abuser. That's whatever you learn young is what you will continue to do until you're broken from it, like freed from it. And so the, you know, the flight, the freeze, whatever, fight, flight, or freeze, or fawn, those will continue until you're healed. So you're vulnerable to any abuser who comes along. And this is where our hearts need to break open, and we need to do all we can to protect these children and heal the adult children. And it's very difficult if you're a parent who raised your kids this way, because it's going to be a lot of grief to face what has happened here. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yeah. So, but the promise here is that you can raise compliant children with no problems. That's the promise. It's you just control them out of problems. And it's appealing to remove the risk of raising another human being with free will in what you've been taught is a fallen world.
Yeah.
It's a false promise. It doesn't work, but it is the promise.
Yeah. Again, because we've been taught contempt for God.
Yes.
Love and a contempt for ourselves.
Yes.
A contempt for our own free will.
Yeah.
So we have contempt for our children's free will. It's just a domino, horrible domino.
The whole network is built for this.
Yeah.
And the appeal of Stepford children is, you know, they'll do what we say because they have no choice and you get to rule. It's the same as the appeal of Stepford wives. And it appeals to people who love control, who love certainty. And the church conditions us to love both these things, to believe that certainty is possible, as in removing the risk that is inherent in living a life and raising a life, that you can just control your children into perfection, into no problems.
Yeah, and all the while, you're doing God's will.
Yeah. This is what God is asking for you, is what you're told.
And again, and if you do anything else, ask any questions, it's not God's will.
Right.
It's not what God wants. And that's a huge fear. But you know, we're not raising Stepford children. That's not the point of having children. But in this paradigm, it is. In this paradigm, you're raising children as commodities, as, quote, arrows to shoot into the future to do God's work.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk more in a future episode about Christians as commodities that God wants to, quote, use.
Yeah, boy.
And relationships are not meant to be transactional between partners, between parents and children. They're meant to be based on freedom and respect and acceptance and love. then these kids grow up and they're wounded.
Yeah.
They're hurt. And as you said before, they are pissed the hell off. Far more than they ever would have been if their parents had just raised them
yeah.
to be the beautiful creation that they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have something you wanted to say?
No.
Okay. I mean, if this world were perfect, meaning whole and fully mature.
That's what the word perfect in the Bible means, but just. Okay.
We would be trauma-informed in our therapy, in our parenting, in our church leaders. But then we come to this conflict of interest to protect the vulnerable or to protect the man-made hierarchical systems.
Yeah.
You can't do both. That's the love of money, so to speak.
Yeah, you know the love of mammon. It means the man-made systems.
Yes, yes.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And underneath it all, like we just said, is this teaching of contempt for God, especially ourselves. And if we have that belief that God will not accept us unless we blank,
mm-hmm.
then it's easy. And if that's God's system, God's way, then it's easy to convince us that our way to raise our children is the same thing. We don't really love and accept you unless yeah. you blank. And right. what a horrible thing to have a child feel.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
This teaching of contempt is the most dangerous teaching in all of humanity. It's really at the root of our problems. We have contempt for God, for ourselves, for our children, for each other. And again, we're falsely taught to believe that that's what God desires of us. That's God's plan. Beloved, bullshit. our children are absolutely 100% beloved.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Next week, we're going to talk about how you deconstruct this and look to make changes. That when you start to deconstruct all of this and look to make changes, you may find yourself trapped by the church and, oh, crap, they've sealed the exits.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's time to break free. It's time to love and be loved. We'll talk to you next week.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
You've been listening to the Freed Hearts Podcast. We have extensive resources and vibrant, inclusive community for you at freedhearts.org. Please just come say hello. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions for the podcast, just email us at podcast@freedhearts.org. Audio engineering is provided by Luke Johnson. The music is provided by Hannah Cottrell, our daughter, the Grammy-nominated Saint Sinner. You can find out more about her and her music at heysaintsinner.com. Please share, subscribe, and follow on your favorite platform, and support us if you can. Thanks for listening.